6:43. Yeah, summer arrives officially in a couple days, Friday. Hey, you might be running your air conditioner more. But what impact does all this buzz out there, the poplar and cottonwood tree fluff, have on your system? And what about if the wildfire smoke comes back and lingers for longer? We thought we'd check in with Jeff Serson of Able Plumbing and Heating this morning to get these questions answered. Okay, Jeff, let's start with our AC. And it's not like it's blistering hot out there.
Even though we're not in like a heat wave, we're definitely fielding a lot of calls on air conditioners. And always your filtration and changing your furnace filter is a huge deal in regards to your air conditioner working properly. In regards to the whole air quality side of it, definitely don't want to be using like HEPA type filters on your furnaces and stuff like that, because it restricts so much airflow. But you definitely want to be looking at, you know, air filtration in regards to air exchangers, your HRVs that are in your house, and that, because they're drawing outside air directly in to replace the air that you're exhausting out in your bathrooms or your kitchens and stuff like that. So in regards to those, you can definitely upgrade the filters within those HRVs to like a HEPA style filter.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're then trapping a lot of your, you know, particulate matter from the fires, as well as, you know, even smaller particulate matter in regards to the pollens and stuff like that to help out with those allergies side of it.
So it really can ruin your system, or at least cause some problems if you don't use the right filter.
That filter within your furnace, you don't want to be going to a really restrictive filter on the furnace, because you'll cause problems with the equipment. That doesn't help out the equipment itself. It causes more problems on the equipment because it's restricting the air, so the fans run hotter, they're trying to drive harder, and you end up on the heating side, you'll end up where furnaces will overheat because they don't have enough airflow through them. Or on the air conditioning side, you'll end up with your air conditioner freezing up with ice and not working because it doesn't have enough airflow. So it restricts that airflow, and that, because they'll plug up real quick. Those really fine filters will plug up really fast. And when they do, then it doesn't have enough airflow through the equipment. So you're causing damage to your own equipment, even though you're trying to do the right thing. 100% people are trying to do the right thing and try to, you know, make the air quality in their house as good as they possibly can. But in doing so, they may be causing another issue.
Speaking with Jeff Serson of Able Plumbing and Heating. So what I'm hearing, Jeff, is you might want to be a little more active than on your filters.
To continually change that filter and that's in your furnace. If you're noticing air quality is quite bad, it's one of the things that, you know, you've got to change that filter more often. You may have a normal change cycle of, you know what, I change it every 3 months. Well, maybe you should actually look at changing it every month. Because, you know, that filter is going to be plugging up. As it plugs up, it doesn't do its job as well, and you're not getting the best performance out of the equipment you do have. So, absolutely, I think with the air quality, and right now in Regina and surrounding areas, the poplar trees are starting to do their poplar fuzz thing again. You're getting that as well. And so changing the filter in your furnace more often than you actually think, because it is plugging up faster on the air conditioning side. Go outside, check out your air conditioner outside, because with the poplar fuzz and everything else that is starting now, it's definitely floating around. We're seeing more and more of it as it will plug up that condenser outside, the rad on the air conditioner. So the best thing you can do is go and use a garden hose, rinse it off. You don't need to use a pressure washer or anything like that. Just a basic garden hose and just give it a rinse off and get that fuzz off there. Help out for it performing way better.
What about if somebody took a vacuum to it? Is that harmful?
Yeah, you can do that. No, it's not harmful at all. No, absolutely not. No, you can totally use a vacuum on it. I just find the rinsing it off with water seems to be the best, because you're able to rinse off the poplar fuzz, and any dirt and dust that's stuck to it will wash off as well. Any airflow and that restrictions on that outside unit is going to make your air conditioner not cool as well in your house. So it's going to have to run longer and it's going to run hotter. So, you know, you're going to be using more electricity, and you're also going to be, you know, shortening the life of that air conditioner if it's got to run really hot.
Well, thanks for your time, Jeff. That is Jeff Serson of Able Plumbing and Heating, reminding us to stay on top of our filters and air conditioning units to ensure our system runs the best it can with the on and off again smoke and all this fuzz out there that a family member referred to it as like the upside down from Stranger Things. All the floaties almost kind of looks like snow in some cases, and even accumulating on, for example, my driveway on driveways looks like a little pile of snow. Here I thought I was done shoveling. .653 on your Tuesday morning, the Edmonton Oilers. Andrew Shepherd joining me now. The Oilers, they have to do it tonight.
I was hoping for lay it on the line because they need to do that. I haven't seen that lately.
They need to do both. Yeah. It's elimination game for them. And it, you know what's really hard? This one is hard to call. We've been talking about it in the newsroom and in the hallway. It's just kind of one of those, like, it's almost impossible to predict who you think should win or will win. Doesn't. It's like, okay, wherever you're leaning, just do the opposite of that in this series.
Especially when you have some overtime games mixed in there. It's anyone's game in those too. So
yeah,
it's an obvious must-win game for Edmonton. Huge game, biggest of the season so far. They lose, they're out. But if somehow they can pull this off and go back to Edmonton for game seven, ooh, then, I mean, there's a chance.
Yeah, and Evan Bray... And Evan Bray had told us the other day after he went to game five, he's talking about, yeah, I mean, you have upwards of, you know, close to 20,000 inside. But he was like, yeah, probably more than double that on the outside. And sometimes when you're watching on TV, every time Edmonton scores a goal, they always do the crowd shot. And you can kind of, you can tell there are a lot of people there. But of course, the extent of that is sometimes hard. So you're talking like 60,000 people. That's like two of Moose Jaw outside of the arena in Edmonton.
Wow, that's quite a bit, yeah.
So game number six tonight. The puck drops at six. Hey, police, in your newscast this morning, you've been talking about police think they have a suspected porch pirate.
Yeah, this is just frustrating, eh, when you order something and you might have a doorbell camera. This is why, yeah. I mean, we got a doorbell camera kind of for this reason, long story. But, you know, you see people coming in and stealing packages left on doorsteps. Yep. Police say they saw, they found a man in the greens doing this on Friday. Apparently he wasn't listening to police and their commands. So he ended up getting tased and now charged with resisting arrest and theft.
It used to happen predominantly at Christmas time.
Everyone knows there's packages all over the place.
Exactly.
At Christmas.
And now it is, I feel like, all year, it doesn't matter because people get so many packages delivered now. And I know the greens in the past, we've talked about that on this morning show in the past, where the greens seems to be targeted. It's not a great area.
Fine. This is why I really don't order much online. And it's more because I'm more impatient than I am lazy, even if like a one-day delivery service. I'd rather just go there now and come back with it in like 10 minutes.
Shopping local.
And then the benefits of
shopping local.
Yeah, like just the peace of mind of it sitting on my porch all day. I just don't like that.
Andrew Shepherd in with me. 6:56, just ahead of the 7 o'clock news, Andrew. And a couple developments from the G7, including President Donald Trump already leaving.
Yeah, he left early to deal with the situation in the Middle East with Canada. Some talk about, you know, the tariffs and the trade deal.
Yeah.
No deal yet, so tariffs are still there. Trump says he believes an agreement's within reach, although he says he's a tariff guy and Carney's not a tariff guy, and they have two different mechanisms of trade, and I don't know how this is going to come together.
Yeah,
but they're going to agree to meet later this week, their teams, and Carney's office says Trump's agreed to pursue negotiations and hopefully have a deal, a new economic and security relationship by mid-July.
Yeah, and Prime Minister Carney is meeting today with Ukrainian President Zelensky and Indian Prime Minister Modi as well. So a couple more big ticket. And remember, this is G7. Neither of those two countries are part of the G7, but still other leaders are invited. And, you know, imagine being a fly on the wall for some of these meetings, some of these, because, I mean, obviously it's formal, Andrew Shepherd, and sometimes it's more informal. But to be there, I always wondered, like, when they go behind closed doors, are they still so formal like they are in front of the cameras, or do they actually start getting down to the nitty gritty? Are they, you know,
even
do they let
see
loose
a little bit? I saw there was a shot of the Italian prime minister or president, I think, how she was like rolling her eyes and talking to Emmanuel Macron, and they're whispering and no one could hear them because they're off mic and covering their mouth. So they were talking about something, and yeah, it'd be quite interesting.
Andrew Shepherd is back in a couple minutes for the 7 o'clock news. Tonight, the Oilers have to win game number 6 tonight with Florida up 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Final. The wife of Oilers captain Connor McDavid says she hopes the team makes it to game 7 and brings the cup home to Edmonton to the best fans in the NHL.
I think that if you're in Alberta, you're living in Edmonton, you're just automatically a hockey fan. And it's so cool to see a city just have an identity around hockey and like rally around the team. There's a sense of like Canadian pride. I think it would be so cool to win here because the fans are just amazing and there's nobody better.
Lauren Kyle McDavid plans to stand by the fireplace in her downtown Edmonton bar while watching tonight. That is where she watched her husband stick handle a puck into the net in game 5. The 28-year-old interior designer says ensuring she's in the same position when the Oilers are playing might be a silly thing, but goes to show how invested she is in the series.
I definitely watch the games completely from start to finish. I'm definitely superstitious, so while I'm watching the game, I need to stand in like a specific place, and if I move around and they score, like I have to get back into my spot. So I'm superstitious in that way.
Hey, I think a lot of us are. I know when I'm watching, I'll wear a certain jersey. If the team loses, I will ditch that jersey and wear another one until I start winning. Hasn't worked so far. I don't know why I keep doing it, but yeah, even sometimes I'll switch between periods. Longtime Oilers fan Clinton Whitehead believes their best is yet to come.
Yes, I believe that this is our year. This is our game, our cup, and it's time to bring it home.
Now the puck drops at 6 tonight. Well, the time now is 7:16. When a dish shatters, most of us will sweep it up without a second thought. But for one Saskatoon artist, broken porcelain is the canvas she uses to create. 980 CJME's Brittany Cafe just stopped by Transform Jewelry to see how a little creativity is giving a grandma's dishes a second life.
Sherry Wolf has spent the last decade transforming broken or forgotten dishes into delicate jewelry.
10 years ago, I was helping my father set up an antique store. So we were going out to garage sales, flea markets. I saw all of these beautiful dishes, but nobody wanted them. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make people love these dishes again. I take plates, broken or not. I take the dish, I shape it using a variety of different tools. I've got nippers, I've got cutters, I've got saws. Cut it, then I grind it, smooth it down, then I wrap it up or set it in its setting. I joke around, I say it's marital therapy. When I'm upset with my husband, I can just go down to the pit and smash some dishes.
Sounds like a pretty fun gig, but it's also a big responsibility. For many people, these pieces carry deep memories.
When you think back to Christmas dinner at your grandma's house, or being in that church basement during a funeral, or going to somebody's wedding, the dishes that people brought out for those occasions. So we have an emotional, a huge emotional connection because it kind of brings us back to those really, really important places in our lives with people that we really connect to.
Wanda Gatsky has seen Wolf work her magic firsthand.
My mother-in-law had gifted me her mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary plate. It was getting a little chipped in places. And I thought, with my luck, I'm going to break it at some point. She made myself, my sister-in-law, and our daughters all our own pendants with that plate.
One old plate was transformed into necklaces that multiple generations now wear close to their hearts. Wolf says that for generations, China was a prized possession. But these days, not so much.
Kids and their grandkids, they don't want the china. Nobody has china cabinets anymore. They don't use the fancy china. They don't want to put it in the dishwasher. It's just sitting in a box in a basement collecting dust. you might as well make it into something that's going to be appreciated. I still find it remarkable that I can take something that is quote unquote garbage destined for the landfill and that I can make it into something really, really pretty that people want to wear around their necks or on their fingers or on their wrists.
At its heart, Transform Jewelry isn't just about repurposing dishware. It's about preserving those stories and memories once shared over supper and turning them into cherished keepsakes that stay with you long after the meal is over. In Saskatoon, I'm Brittany Caffey, 980 CJME.
Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan for one last day. And that means one final chat for now with Evan Bray. Good morning to you, Evan.
I'm liking that song, Kev. You're rocking out this morning.
Yes, yes.
Good job.
A little triumph. yeah.
I mean, it's all on the line tonight, Kev. It's all on the line tonight for the Oilers.
How you feeling?
Terrible.
but you know what? We've been saying you're probably feeling terrible because you probably think Florida's going to win. And when you think somebody's going to win, it's the other team that wins in this series. So it's like predicting is so hard.
Well, you've done a good job of trying to convince me in my mind. Listen, I want the Oilers to win. Obviously, I want to see the Cup come to Canada. I'm behind this team for sure, but we need to see a different team tonight than we saw on Saturday. There's no doubt that what we saw on Saturday, if that team shows up, they're not winning the game tonight.
And I think Connor McDavid shows up. I would be hard-pressed to see the Oilers tonight and not have them come out with guns a-blazing under Connor McDavid. You know what he's like in the locker room. We've seen it before, how he fires up the guys, how he tries to call out the team when he doesn't feel like they're playing to their potential. I feel like that conversation's already been had. I feel like everybody knows what the deal is tonight.
So, you know, I got a buddy who said to me last night, hey, if we win tomorrow night, meaning the game tonight in Florida, then the Cup's ours. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, both teams have proven they can win in the other's barn. And so, yeah, I mean, let's take it one game at a time. We need the Oilers to show up tonight. Have they definitively said Skinner's in net?
No, I don't think they've made that decision yet. The green zone, like Jamie Nyan Locker, he will be, but I don't. Yeah, yesterday, I know Chris Knobloch was asked that question. He was not prepared to make a decision at that point.
Yeah, I don't even know there what the right answer is. I mean, I'm thinking we'll probably see Skinner back in nets. So, gosh, I want a good game, Kev. I want the Oilers to win. I'll be cheering. I'll be cheering for the Canadian team tonight, but we'll see how it ends up.
Evan Bray in with me this morning. I see on your show you are having a discussion, and this interested me, about going phone free. Do you think that you could do it?
I don't know. Like, you know, part of what this discussion is, you know, try it for your holidays. Well, on your holidays, maybe you need GPS, or on your holidays, you know, you've got to check back at home to make sure things are okay. Now, this isn't really about going without a phone, like the ability to make a phone call. This is really just about that connection that many of us have, and I'll go as far as to say unhealthy connection with our phones, in terms of having to check a million different apps and emails and Instagram and all of that kind of stuff. My guest today wrote a book called Unplugged, and he talks about he went a year without his phone, and he brings a lot of people into this. He's got professional athletes, he's got health professionals, he's got students, all of which that took the challenge. Some did it for not maybe a full year, but for chunks of time. And the benefits that he talks about are in enhanced relationships, better self-esteem. There's a number of things that he can show marked difference by going without your phone. That said, I mean, this is an addiction. There's no question about it for many, many people, and I don't think it's that easy. So it's going to be an interesting conversation at 11 o'clock this morning.
And see, this is why I like going camping, because a lot of times when you go camping, the reception isn't good. So I'm just right. Like, yeah, I don't need the phone. I don't need
the tech. Phone away.
Yeah. So it's nice. What else is coming up on the show today?
Well, we're going to talk. We'll start off talking about the G7. I mean, yesterday we saw some good things happen in the G7 meeting. There was a one-on-one meeting with Mark Carney and Donald Trump, and it sounds as if they've got a bit of a game plan to try and get this trade war ended. That said, Trump basically does a smoke bomb last night, which is similar to what he did in 2018. He left early, right? So he's like, oh, I got big things to do. I got to get going.
Yeah.
Today's the day where they're discussing a couple of things, including Russia, that I think it would have been nice to have him at the table for, but maybe that's part of the reason why he didn't want to be there. He was critical of Trudeau for getting rid of Russia at the G8 table when really it wasn't Trudeau, it was Stephen Harper. So misspoke a little bit there yesterday. No one corrected him on it, though. They let him say his spiel, jump in his plane, and then go. But we will check in with Bill Graveland this morning about the G7. We've got open lines today. I've got a doctor who's on the show talking about the lack of trust that Canadians are having in our healthcare system today and what the implications are on that. Artificial intelligence, you name it. I got a lot going on the show today.
Evan Bray is back just after the 8:30 news.